Emergencies happen in a split second, and a lot of times they come with little or no warning. One that certainly comes to mind for me, I know, is the straight line winds and the subsequent damage that happened across our area last Memorial Day weekend. Just a little over a year ago, hard to believe, but the side effects and the evidence of that emergency situation, you can still see visible in a lot of different areas. June is National Safety Month, and though sometimes you don't have a lot of time in advance of an emergency situation, it's always better to be prepared than not.
Better informed, better prepared. Living a better life in the Upper Cumberland. Your health and you with the Putnam County Health Department.
Today on Your Health and You, presented by the Putnam County Health Department, we're speaking with Tyler Smith with the Emergency Management Agency. And June, of course, is National Safety Month. Tyler, thanks so much for being here with us today.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you for talking to us a little bit about emergency preparedness. And though we can't necessarily plan for when a disaster is going to strike, there are some steps to helping us be better prepared. You need to have an emergency kit, right? You need to do a lot of different things. So what are the four steps for being prepared for an emergency when it does happen?
The first thing we want everybody to have is a way of getting that notification, being informed. A lot of folks now have their cell phones or their smart apps that you can download off those smartphones. One thing we do recommend is a weather alert radio. You can get those at any electronic store. They're about $30, but they're battery backup and they will sound an alarm. When you're asleep, they will wake you up. If the power goes out, that battery's going to keep that radio going, so you're going to get that information. So those are very good things to have in the home. But when you're away from home, those smartphones are very good to have.
But I imagine that those emergency radios, those weather alert radios, even if cell service goes down, even if those things are not available for you, you can still get the alerts. Is that correct?
You can. And it's a nationwide. There's six different channels on these weather radios. So you can take this anywhere you need to go in the U.S. and program each one of those frequencies into that radio. They're already there. You just select the channel. And they will alert you anytime you're needing alert for a weather warning or a watch.
So I'm not really smart about stuff like that. So if I were to pick up one of those those weather alert radios, would somebody at your office be able to assist?
We can, and we can program those for free. They're now easier to program. Used to, you had to have a code, what's called a Phillips code, for each county. Mm-hmm. Now they've got those programmed to where they're already in the radio. You just select your state and your county, and it's already programmed.
Oh, so even somebody like me could probably
yes,
do it.
Yes.
Okay. Now, so those are some of the things that you need to have to help you be prepared. You also need to have an emergency kit in your home. Where else might you need to have
your
one?
Car or your office where you work every day. People are out at work and they're not prepared because we have storms, we have power outages, so having one at work. But wintertime in your car is very important. If you get stranded, maybe you run off the road, but one of those winter car kits are very great to have.
And yep. what are some of the things that you can think of just initially, what would be some of the top things that you would say to have in those emergency kits?
In any kit, you need extra clothing, food, non-perishable foods, of course. A shovel for in case you need to dig out from if you're stranded. Extra blankets. Of course, communication. Take your phones with you. Let somebody know where you're going in the event that you don't reach your destination. They'll be looking for you. But the main thing would be your water, food, and extra clothing, and a way of signaling somebody. A whistle is a good thing to have. A distress flag also. You can stick those flags up to get somebody's attention.
It would probably be pretty wise to have some of those. Those little battery backups that you have that you can plug your cell phone charger mm-hmm. into. So mm-hmm. if your car battery is dead and you're stranded on the side of the road, you could still maybe mm-hmm. use one of those to charge.
They also make a crank type radio. It's a weather.
What?
Yes, it's a radio, weather alert radio, and also it cranks up so you can have power. You just crank them up and just turn them, and they generate power.
Where on earth do you get those?
Some of the electronic stores have those. We actually bought one for a display for folks to, you know, go out and buy them. But you can just crank them. It's got a flashlight built into it and everything.
So. That's pretty fancy. I feel like I need one of them. I feel very ill prepared now. I thought I've got a fire extinguisher upstairs and downstairs and a box of Band-Aids. I should be good to go, but I'm really not all that prepared when it come to think of it. Now, once you fix your emergency supply kit, what is the minimum number of days that you should try to plan for?
Yeah, you know, 3 days supply of water. So a gallon of water per person per day. So at least 3 days, and that's the minimum. So I mean, a lot of people, and you can buy these kits online. You can go ahead and buy them, and they're already prepackaged with everything you need, or you can just go out to the local stores and just put the kit together. And you know, ready.gov, you can get that information off that website. Gives you all the information. You can put a kit together.
Great advice. It's Your Health and You, presented by the Putnam County Health Department, today discussing emergency preparedness with Tyler Smith of the Emergency Management Agency. Now, there are a lot of different ways that residents in our area can receive emergency alerts. How can they receive those locally?
Locally, we have the reverse 911 that automatically sends out a message to the area that we need to send that information to. Mm-hmm. It could be a countywide thing, or it could be just a area in a certain part of the county that we need to notify folks. And they don't have to subscribe to that. That's automatically sent
to the cell phone.
To the cell phones.
And the weather radio, or just to the cell phone?
You can do a cell phone. You can do landline phones. We can even actually do billboards where we put the message on the billboards that way. But yeah, there's another program that we use. It's called Nixle, NIXLE, and you can subscribe. That's a free service, but you can get text messages on your cell phone, or you can subscribe, through email, to get it, or you can get it always. You can get it the text to your phone and email, but it's Nixle.com, NIXLE.com.
And you all send alerts.
We send alerts to that. We've got probably over 2,000 folks that subscribe to that already.
Wow. Yep. Now, you mentioned earlier about, especially in the winter months, contacting or letting somebody know where, if you're traveling, so that should something happen to you and you're later about being somewhere, then it's an alert to them that something could have happened. So you'd advise everyone, too, to make an emergency communications plan, mm-hmm. Not just in those situations, but just an emergency communications plan, obviously in the hopes of never having to use it.
That's right.
But what should a family's emergency communications plan look like?
Well, you need to have at least all your contact information for your family members, even, you know, an out-of-state contact, because if we're affected locally, our phone lines may be disrupted.
Sure.
So an out-of-state contact would help. You can notify, or they would know to notify the rest of the family members to let them know that you're okay. But not tying up the phones is one thing, because when emergencies happen, what's everybody do? They want to call them and check on their loved mm-hmm. ones. So, you know, the phone tree is a good way of doing it. You contact one person out of state, then they can contact the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not affecting the phone lines locally.
And your battery.
Your battery.
And killing your battery at the same time.
And that's what happened during the ice storm in Monterey. No power, and people were having to use their car charge, charge their phones, the batteries off their automobiles.
Well, when we had that's exactly the situation I was in when we had those last Memorial Day, when we had the straight line winds. There was a tree that fell in the drive, and I couldn't leave,
mm-hmm.
and I had no power. So the only way I could charge my phone
from
was to go out to the car and sit there in this storm.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't seem smart.
Yeah. And even the solar powered, like we were talking mm-hmm. earlier, you can buy those solar powered, any store normally has those. They're not, the larger ones are sort of expensive, but they can, you know, keep your phone charged up for a long time.
Sure. Yep. So what are the types? So we've mentioned the ice, and we've mentioned kind of those Memorial Day storms that we had in this area. Folks in this area certainly will remember those. But what types of emergencies would necessitate this type of preparedness? All, you know, the water, the food, the, what are the types of emergencies that would merit being this kind of prepared?
A long-term, you know, long-term power outages is the main thing. You know, we have, you know, earthquake. We lie in between two earthquake zones. Mm-hmm. We're the New Madrid to the west, and then there's an eastern fault zone that runs through Chattanooga up towards Knoxville. Mm-hmm. So we're sort of right in the center part of a area, you know, that we could have earthquakes. So, you know, you never know. Earthquakes come with no warning, so you never know when that's going to happen. But I guess our biggest thing is the storms, is long-term power outages, and that's why you need these kits, and that's probably the best thing to have. And a lot of people are just unprepared because they don't have these kits available to them and ready to be used.
And I guess one other thing, it's great if you make these kits, but they're not no expiration date. You know, once you've made one doesn't mean that it's there forever, that if you make one this year in 10 years, that's still, how often do you need to kind of refresh these?
At least twice a year. If you can do that, you know, it's good to just rotate the stuff out, mm-hmm. because some things, you know, have expiration dates.
But spam, you know, even.
That's right. But yeah, they recommend once a year, but at least try it twice a year. You know, the fall and then the springtime, maybe rotate that stuff out.
Maybe when the time changes.
Yes, that's good.
Just like the batteries in your smoke detector.
Yes.
Maybe make that your refreshing point.
Yes.
So that's some great advice, and we certainly appreciate you being here and taking the time to help us help the folks in this area and everywhere that can hear this, give them a little bit of advice about how to be prepared for those emergencies that we don't want to happen. We don't want to ever have to use these things. But it's certainly, as my mom and dad always said, better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it.
Exactly.
I'm Marsha Lee, and it's National Safety Month as we discuss emergency preparedness. It's just being part of prepared, having the right supplies, having an emergency kit, preparing that emergency kit, keeping it fresh, keeping it up to date, so that it's of use to you should you ever have to use it. Now, Tyler, if someone would like more information about the topics that we've covered today, what could they do? Who could they contact?
They can call our office at 528-7575. And we also have our website, www.cpcema.org. And it's got a lot of good information on that.
Thank you so much, Tyler, for joining me today. I'm Marsha Lee, helping you be better informed, better prepared, and live a better life in the Upper Cumberland. Your health and you, presented by the Putnam County Health Department.